it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. New Horizons is the weekly program from Blind Citizens Australia. It's published each week on behalf of Blind Citizens Australia, and it goes out on the RPH network and also other community stations and other radio stations across Australia. It's also available online to anybody who's living outside Australia or anybody indeed who would like to listen to it online. About 3 months ago, we spoke to Crystal Malcolm, who is the Executive Officer of Blind Citizens New South Wales. We talked about a camp that was coming up in the United States of America, in California, in fact, and that Blind Citizens New South Wales and Blind Citizens Australia were looking for several participants from Australia to go to that camp. Well, that application process went through, and there were 6 participants chosen as part of that application process, and the camp has now been and gone. They returned home some little time ago. We're going to hear today from Troy Gladwell. Troy was one of those participants, and he joins me on the line now. Troy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Tell us about yourself.
I lost bulk of my eyesight when I turned 20. It was just a genetic disease that was in my family, and I didn't really know about it. Sort of went to bed one night and then couldn't see properly the next day. So as you could imagine, that was quite confronting.
It would have been very disconcerting.
Yeah, it would have. You know, I didn't particularly handle it too well at the time. I, you know, went on a self-destructive path and, you know, felt pretty worthless for about 5 years maybe. Then decided to turn my life around a little bit and try and get busy helping other people in my circumstances rather than focusing on myself.
And you work for Vision Australia?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm a new hire there just over a year now as the coordinator of volunteers. But obviously it's just a toehold into the organisation, so I can explore further opportunities.
Now, recently the opportunity came up for you to go and explore further opportunities internationally. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, there was an advertisement on my work computer one day that Blind Citizens New South Wales was looking for people interested in going over to the San Francisco, United States to help out at a blind and low vision summer camp. So, yeah, I thought I'd apply for it and went through the process, and luckily enough, I was successful to go along.
Had you ever done anything like that before?
No, I'd never actually stepped foot outside of Australia, for one thing, and never participated in any summer camp ever, you know, growing up or anything like that. As I said, my blindness happened a little bit later, so, yeah, working in the industry, I thought it would be a good experience to find out, you know, exactly how other countries do it and, you know, what I could take away from it professionally and personally as well.
Because camps are something that are far more prevalent in the US than they are here, aren't they?
Yeah, it's actually a big part of their culture. Mm. Speaking to the Americans in particular, they, you know, we've had, when at this camp, for instance, we'd had campers that we were working with that had been for 50 years and never missed a year.
Yeah, that's quite remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So the one thing that I actually took right away from that experience was just how vital it is to the campers to have something like that. For them to actually participate in. It's sort of a place where people can just be themselves without feeling judged or being excluded because of their blindness or, you know, potentially other disabilities as well.
Tell us about the application process itself.
So there was a call out. They originally wanted 4 clients, people that had vision impairments themselves or, you know, blindness issues, to apply to see what they could actually bring to the table and, you know, also to get the experience out to the general public as well and the blind community in Australia as well. So, yeah, we had to write out a resume, had to get interviewed. So I think there was quite a few applicants and they ended up sending 6 of us because they couldn't choose between the applicants that were there. So we were very, very lucky.
And what happened when you first got over there? When did you leave, by the way?
I think I left, it was 15th or 16th of June. We met the night before the 6 candidates and, yeah, got to know each other a little bit and, yeah, took off the next day altogether, flying Qantas, obviously. Yeah, we met with the people from the Blind Citizens the night before as well, so we got a good rundown on, you know, what they were looking for. what we all thought we had to offer and, yeah, how we were actually going to make it work for each other.
And I seem to recall from the original notice that was sent out that there was a fairly significant period of training involved. What happened there?
That was a little bit of a surprise, actually. There wasn't a great deal of training involved at all. There was a week of orientation, but that was more building connections with your other co-counsellors, the American counterparts. We had some people from India, another lady from Ireland. Later in the camp, there was people from Hawaii as well. So it was just basically getting to know each other, figuring out strategies on how to deal with blind people, if that was a new thing for yourself. So that was one of the things that I found quite surprising. Actually, the level of training I thought could have been a little bit better, but it was a good orientation into the culture, at least, anyway.
Mm. And what sort of activities did you get up to at the camp?
Well, we done shooting, archery, horse riding, boating, swimming, arts and craft, music, radio recording, podcasting, stuff like that. There's a whole wide gamut of, played a little bit of goal ball, a lot of hiking. Yeah, so there's a lot of different activities for people to choose from.
And how many people would you say were there?
I was there from the 16th of June right up to the 29th of August. So in that time, I actually participated in seven separate camps. So they were doing like blind babies, which was more family orientated with very young children, family camps. So each camp was slightly different, right up to aged people with multiple disabilities. Mm. So yeah, the wide gamut. If it was something that you're new to, it was quite challenging in a lot of ways as well.
I can imagine. And having to deal with all those different people, it would have been hard to sort of get a feel for them and get to know people if you're not with the same people for the whole 6 or 7 weeks you were there.
Well, yes and no. Going back to my statement before about it just being an inclusive sort of place, that people didn't sort of have any sort of barriers up, so you got to know people pretty well pretty quickly. It was just a feeling of acceptance and people just, drawing you in and being themselves. There was no pretenses. Well, that was my experience anyway. Yeah, so it was actually really rewarding to get to know some of these people on a personal basis, the campers and the counsellors and the ground staff there all together.
You mentioned one of the things that you took home from this camp, but what do you think's going to happen in the future for you? Are you going to keep in touch with your co-counsellors?
For sure. Yeah, especially the Aussies. Like, we had a fantastic time and a great working relationship. I'm still in contact with a lot of the Americans as well. Moving forward, it's from my personal perspective, professionally, I'd like to sort of have something, work towards something maybe that we can actually have in Australia that replicates this.
Mm.
I think the benefits are fantastic for our clients. One of the things that I really want to stress for anyone that is listening is the one thing that I did notice was that the American, especially the youth, did not see their blindness being associated with their self-esteem. Whereas in Australia, I have found that to be the case in a lot of young people especially. So I'd like to find out what the formula is to help our guys not feel that way. It was really refreshing just to speak to the younger kids, especially the youth and the teens, and ask them about what their futures may hold. And each one of them to a T was, I'm going to be doing this job, or I'm already enrolled in uni, or, I've got this aspiration to do this at uni. One of them was talking about becoming a GP. One of them was, talking about becoming a forensic scientist. And I'm saying to them, how is that going to happen? They're like, I can find a specialty. So they present solutions along with their problems and proactively work towards them side by side.
Have you got a sense of whether the employment prospects are significantly different in America, for example, to what they are here?
Well, I can tell you off the top of my head, the stats in Australia for vision-impaired people working sit around 12%. And in America, the rates tend to be around 35%. So that's a significant jump.
It's a huge jump.
Obviously, it really is. And, when you look at as mental health and, social inclusion and all that type of stuff, having a job is a gateway into a lot of different possibilities. So that's something that I'm quite passionate about in my own personal working life and helping others just in my personal life get the best out of themselves so they can actually experience that.
And do you think it's fair, Troy, to say that these camps would be a significant factor in that?
I do think that they do play a part. I had many conversations with a lot of the campers, and I was actually pointing out to them, they're learning, cross-skilling without even realising they're doing it.
Mm.
You know, they're learning how to interact. One of the things that people miss out on being blind or vision impaired is missing social cues when you're even talking to somebody. Whereas if you're in a situation where you can just have a lot of fun, muck around, you're overcoming that barrier subconsciously just by having a fun and being a part of something and being accepted into something.
Mm.
So that was one of the things that I really think, moving forward, a country like Australia could really benefit from. Blind Citizens was fantastic in giving us this opportunity, and there'll be something I'll remember for the rest of my life. And, hopefully I'll be able to become more involved in their organisation as well.
Troy, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Troy Gladwell there, one of the participants to go to the United States of America. And just a reminder that Women Talks teleconference is coming up on the 31st of August. That's Thursday night. If you haven't got your name down for that and you're interested, then get in touch with the head office now, 1-800-033-660. Or nwb@bca.org.au is the email address you can contact. They're talking about labelling, so if you've got any labelling tips or you'd like some labelling tips, and labelling could be anything from labelling clothes to colour coding things to tins in your pantry or CDs, DVDs, records. All of those things need labelling sometimes, so if you'd like to find out how to do that, or you've got some great ideas as to how it could be done, then get in touch and get your name down for that teleconference. Blind Citizens Australia members are being asked to vote on a new name for our PAC program. Now, you might recall that the PAC program, PACC, or Pre-Authorised Credit Card Program, is a program where people authorise their credit cards and a donation is taken each month to keep BCA going. There are several people who contribute to this program, and it earns BCA several thousand dollars a year. They're looking for a new name. In fact, entries have been accepted, and there are four winning entries that members are being asked to vote on. If you'd like to have your vote counted, then there is a survey link, and most of you will have received that by now by email, but you can contact the head office on 1-800-033-660 if you would like to get that link, or if you would like to vote over the phone, it's your preference. The winning entries we have are BCA Backers, Blind Citizens Giving, BCA Creditway, and Blind Donate. So they are the four winning entries: BCA Backers, Blind Citizens Giving, BCA Creditway, and Blind Donate. So whichever one is your preference, make sure that your vote is counted. Don't forget that the convention's coming up in the middle of October, from the 13th to the 15th of October. That's happening in Melbourne. Registrations are due pretty soon, so if you haven't registered, you'll want to do that fairly quickly. You can fill out the registration form and send it back, or you can get in touch with the head office if you'd like to know more. If you'd like to put your name down for the National Policy Council, or indeed for the Board of Blind Citizens Australia, that's due pretty soon as well, so make sure you get your name down. All the documentation you should have received by now. If you haven't received it and you think you should have, then get in touch with the office and I'm sure they'll help you sort that out. Otherwise, you can get the documents off the website and have a read from there. In any case, it's been great to have your company for the last 15 minutes or so. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Do take care, and I'll talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams, of our dreams.